Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, June 2nd, 2017. And on today's podcast, we will be discussing the recent terrorist bombing attack conducted against people attending a rock or pop concert in Manchester, England. The performer at the concert was Ariana Grande, apparently a huge American star who appeals primarily to early teen girls, Salman Abedi, age 22, acting in the name of the religion of peace, strapped a bomb lined with nails to his chest, walked into the arena where thousands of people, including many children, were enjoying the concert and blew himself up. The explosion created instant carnage with 22 dead and over 100 wounded. Many of the wounded were critical and may have died since the last report of casualties. There were many stories of families picking nails from the faces of their young daughters after the blast. Nothing gets to people like attacking their children. As my pastor once said, quote, "You're only as happy as your saddest child," end quote. Mr. Abedi's parents immigrated to Libya, from Libya to the UK in the 1980s to escape, they said, the repressive regime of Muammar Gaddafi. They settled in Manchester in a Libyan community that now numbers over 20,000 Libyans. And they had several children there, including the bomber, who was born in 1994. In 2011, after President Obama, along with the leaders of England and France, invaded Libya and killed Mr. Gaddafi, the Abedis returned to Libya. But Salman, our bomber, then age 17, stayed in the UK with his youngest brother, Hashim, and his older brother, Ismail. His sister, Jomana, returned to Libya with her parents. Jomana, who now works at a mosque in Libya, said that her brother was kind and loving. She congratulated him on entering paradise. Apparently, the religion of peace rewards the murder of children with entry into paradise for the murderer. To me, living in the West, this all seems twisted, sick, demented. But to adherents of the religion of peace, I suppose it makes perfect sense. At the time of this recording, 14 people have been arrested as having been connected to this attack, including Salman's younger brother, Hashim, as an accomplice, and his father in Libya, who was described as a member of an Islamic extremist group. I remind you, though, that killing unbelievers, even children, is not extreme in Islam. It is required by the Muslim holy book. The purpose of terrorism, after all, is to create terror. What better way to terrify a population than to attack its children? What better way to deliver the message, "You can't even protect your most vulnerable from us. We will conquer you in time." To me, this indicates that the goals of multiculturalism and diversity are higher goals on the UK priority scale than the protection of their children. The British media, especially the UK Guardian, made much of the fact that Mr. Salman was born in Britain, so immigration had nothing to do with it. The real enemy, the thing to be avoided at all cost, was Islamophobia. But does the fact that our bomber, Salman Abedi, was born in the UK, does that fact make him a homegrown terrorist? His father never left his extremist Islamic group, even in Britain. His family did not assimilate to British life, and in fact, apparently they hated the country that had taken in the parents. That is one of many problems with multiculturalism. It doesn't create a melting pot, but instead just moves a foreign culture from one place to another. Prime Minister Theresa May did take action, though. She sent armed soldiers into the streets to patrol near British monuments and tourist attractions while uttering the same bland phrases they always do, like hope and peace and so forth. Maybe she should consider sending some of those soldiers to the border as border security. That would be impressive. I could believe in that. In a population of about 65 million people, the UK has a little over 3 million Muslims. Most of them live in England itself. as opposed to Scotland, Wales, or Ireland. Who knows how many of those people have not assimilated? Who knows how many actually hate their host country still? We have to keep the wheels of third world immigration turning to achieve the desired multicultural society. The UK's gone, I'm afraid. I don't see how it could ever recover without a national commitment and without lots of blood. The will to do those things just is not there. So, UK, goodbye. France, goodbye. Germany, Sweden, Holland, Denmark, goodbye to all. It was nice to know you. Interestingly, when President Trump spoke to the NATO nations the other day and told them they would have to start paying their own way, Chancellor Merkel of Germany said that Europe can no longer count on America. Well, my answer to her would be, as Commander-in-Chief, in order to withdraw all 68,000 American troops from Germany immediately, as well as in order to cancel plans for the defensive missile shield, except possibly for Poland and Hungary. By the way, when you look at the heat map of Europe showing that where all the terrorist attacks have occurred, they show as red or hotter. The only countries that really stand out as containing no red are Poland and Hungary. These two former communist East Bloc countries admit no refugees or migrants. Despite unrelenting pressure from the EU, they have become the most Christian countries in Europe. Europeans no longer count on Europe either, I guess. At least the European people can no longer count on the politicians who rule over them to not destroy them and their countries. What a sickening mess this has become. There's no hope for Europe then. But what about the United States? Is it too late for the United States? I don't think it is, folks. Our future can still be changed, but it will take courage and it will take commitment. In 2017, the United States has admitted legally about 46,500 refugees, 20% more in May than in April. How many are actually refugees? How many want to assimilate to American values? How many actually hate their host country? How many plan to harm Americans? No one seems to know or to care enough, at least, to raise the questions, let alone answer them. While the attack was going on in Manchester, England, President Trump left on his first foreign trip. In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, he spoke to every Muslim nation on earth except Iran. That's right, every Muslim nation on earth sent a representative to hear him speak except Iran. The president seems to be reversing the pro-Iranian stance of the Obama administration. President Obama seemed to believe that if Iran was the cause of much of the war and terrorism from the Middle East, then war and terrorism could be ended or at least reduced by empowering Iran at the expense of other Muslim nations. But President Trump is apparently taking the opposite approach. He wants an Arab NATO-style union to fight against ISIS and possibly Iran. He made a deal for the United States to sell these nations the most advanced weapons to accomplish this task, $350 billion worth of weapons, with $110 billion to be delivered this year. I suggest those weapons have another purpose as well. I suppose his reasoning is that his Arab Union can fight ISIS in Iran, and we will supply the weapons, which will bring profit to the deep state arms companies, thus satisfying them and also the globalist hawks at the same time, while not risking American lives. But American lives are at risk. They're at risk right now on the ground in Iraq and Syria. It is also a recommitment to the Saudis that the old deal can continue. You know the one, folks. You sell us oil, you act as our proxies, and we will ensure the survival of your regime. America will not allow the Saudi regime to fall, so don't worry about it, folks. It's the royal family business as usual in Saudi Arabia. He told the Muslims to, quote, drive them out of your places of worship, drive them out of your communities, drive them out of your holy land, drive them out of this earth. He was, of course, referring to ISIS. I like and appreciate his disdain for ISIS and his efforts to gain cooperation in fighting that group, but I personally hope that they are not driven out and driven here. The Muslims can do whatever they want to them. as long as they don't come here. Therein lies the rub, folks. I say leave them alone. Leave them alone to solve their own problems. Protect American borders. Be prepared to resist invasion once Europe is fully conquered. I don't like the war drums from the Far East either. Very disturbing. Japan and South Korea, both G20 economies, should be allowed to handle backward North Korea by themselves if they consider it a threat. I know America cannot retreat into isolationism. I understand that. I would not consider that in this interconnected world, but I would secure America's borders by whatever means prove necessary. Economics should give a deal-maker like Mr. Trump the incentive to make deals with Canada and Mexico, despite their far-left leaders. His tariff on Canadian lumber, however, was not a hopeful start. So once again, my counsel to the president would be, isn't it time we minded our own business, Mr. President? Come home. Protect our own borders for a while. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.